Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick. I'm joined by David Smith.
Hello.
He is the executive director of the Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action, and we are joined for our conversation by John Biber, Special Projects Coordinator for the Illinois Family Institute and a writer for IFI. And John, you have the lowdown on a big high tax increase that Illinois lawmakers have decided to impose on us humble taxpayers.
And corporations in Illinois, which, right, of course will pass it along to
us. I think this is an Illinois population control bill. They're trying to get more people to leave the state.
This is all about climate change, right?
Well,
they want to depopulate Illinois.
Exactly.
Purge all the smart people out. That's what they're trying to do.
On the bright side, all the neighboring states love it.
Sure.
Because they're all going to get businesses. They're all going to get people moving across state lines.
Absolutely. So this bill, which was passed over the Independence Day weekend, and that shouldn't be lost on any of us, right? The fact that the General Assembly decided to go into special session over this holiday weekend to so-called solve its budget problems, which has been building for decades now, and to take away some of our liberty. They're taking away resources, and it's real money from families like mine that could be used for car payments, for braces, for schooling, for refrigerators, and all these things, and putting it into state government, who has proven time and time again that they have been irresponsible and reckless with the resources that we send them. So, why in the world would we send them more? And why in the world would 10 Republicans in the House and one Republican in the Senate decide to enable these spendthrifts in the General Assembly and those who want to do Michael Madigan's bidding?
The problem is this massive tax increase doesn't even go a fraction of the way to solving Illinois' fiscal mess.
That's
between,
right,
unfunded liabilities, between service providers that haven't been paid, and other outstanding debts, like to school districts, which they probably shouldn't pay anyway. But there is so much money needed to make up for this recklessness.
That's right.
That this, as bad as it is, it's not gonna be anything but hold off the bond houses to,
that's right,
keep their
credit. So we don't get junk status.
Exactly. But beyond that, it's one of the scary things. Maybe this happens, but I've never heard about it before. The last year or so, Illinois tax revenues are down.
That's right.
And that, you would think, with regular inflation, regular business development and growth, the federal government, even during a recession, they had record tax revenues all the time, every year. But Illinois is losing tax revenue. So if they think they're going to get more revenue by raising taxes,
that's right,
and discouraging business,
no, that's exactly right,
it's going in
the
opposite
direction. They're going to chase people away. And that's, you know, I don't know why they didn't learn their lesson in 2012 through 2014. They did a temporary tax increase. They raised our income tax up to 5%. And they had a windfall of money that came into the state coffers. And they promised during that time, if you remember, Monty, they promised that they would pay down the debt and solve the pension problem and get our fiscal ship right. They didn't.
I do have
it
a question.
Worse.
I do have a question, though.
Yes.
Rauner vetoed it.
Yes.
But if they would have had a number of reforms he wanted, don't remember the list now. I don't think it was workman's comp, but it was.
Well, workman's comp is one of the things he wants. Absolutely.
Yes, but property tax freeze,
yes,
term limits. He would have signed this tax,
right,
increase.
That's
so
right.
So I'm a little bit confused how Republicans can be championing
small government?
Yes.
When with
Browner and other conservatives were going to go along with a tax increase.
Well, listeners need to understand. So the state of Illinois is getting about $31 to $32 billion a year in revenue to operate. This new tax increase, oh, by the way, did you know your tax per gallon has also gone up by 5 cents in this new bill, the taxes?
So they're raising taxes by income taxes by 32%.
32%.
It's a permanent tax.
Permanent,
increase.
Not temporary. It's going up to 4.95, so it's a little bit better than before.
5 cents a gallon on gasoline.
That's right.
Wow.
Yep. So so they're going to bring in about $38 billion. And my assertion has been, and as along with David McSweeney and Jeannie Ives and Tom Morrison and people like that, has been, why are we sending them more when they have proven themselves time and time again to be irresponsible with what they already have? And I don't understand it. I don't understand how many Republicans revealed really who they are at their core. I mean, if they're not principled on fiscal issues, are they really going to be principled on the moral and social issues as well?
They don't know how to reach more Illinoisans with the facts, with the truth about how bad things are.
That's right.
Most states have 5% or less of their expenditures going to government employee pension
right.
funds.
Right.
Illinois, it's 25%.
25%?
I mean, that number is so unbelievable. I don't know why we don't hear about that number every day from Bruce Rauner and every Republican in the General Assembly. Because if you want 25% more revenue, free taxpayers from these incredibly generous pension plans.
That's right. And another big portion of the debt the state of Illinois is Medicaid. And the fact that Obamacare, if people don't understand, pushed a huge expansion of Medicaid throughout many states, Illinois being one of them, and the experts predicted a big growth. Well, it doubled their expectations. We had over 650,000 new people enrolled in Medicaid at the tune of $9 billion. I mean, that is a big part of the big budget hole that Illinois finds itself in. And until they ratchet down some of these pension programs, John, as you're talking about, there's no reason why people need to be making in retirement, especially public servants, $200,000 to $400,000 a year in retirement. There are how many people? You've got a sheet you're pulling out here.
17,000 government pensioners right now are getting over 100,000. And
17,000?
17,000 in 2017.
Over 100,000 a year.
100,000 a year in pension. And that number's going up every year.
You know, this is absurd. They have to put a cap on this.
The winner, by the way, is a guy named Leslie, or a lady named Leslie Hefez. $581,000.
$581,000 in pension a year?
Yeah, second place is only $594. I mean, $494.
Wow. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. There's got to be a cap on these public servants and what they're able to do. But, by the way, they gave a severance package to the president of NIU, who was found guilty of cheating and gaming the system, and they gave him $600,000 severance package.
Yeah. People always think that Chicago public school teachers are, you know, less down the totem pole, but the average Chicago public school teacher pension is $70,000, and that's four times as much as the average Social Security.
That's right.
Yearly recipient.
And it's well above the median income level of most Illinoisans.
Yes, here's the thing: the state is insolvent. It's bankrupt. All these things you talk about kicking the can down the road. Until our side learns how to get the information to voters about how bad it is, this thing's never going to start to be addressed.
Well, and let me just talk about Medicaid for a second. There is no reason in God's green earth that we have to have people qualify at twice or three times the poverty level, right? We've got to bring that number down. There's just no reason why there's so many people eligible for Medicaid. Yes, we want a safety net. I agree. As a pro-family organization, we want a safety net. But so many people qualifying for it, as well as illegals, and we haven't even touched that yet.
John, when we talk about people who are making six figures in pension money, they haven't paid into that much into the system either, right?
No, of course there's let's see, I just got the one page of this thing, and there's probably 40 or 50 names. It goes from 581 to 261,000, but there's still, you know, goes down and down. But these numbers are tough to talk about on the radio, but the fact of it is a teacher can pay in less than $200,000 into their pension fund through their working life and get $2 million back.
Oh, my.
Now, if you wonder why people can't do math coming out of high school, it's because they don't know how to teach it. I mean, if you think you can pay less than $200,000, actually, it's this Illinois Policy Institute.
Even Common Core math, that doesn't add up.
Well, you know, and here's the other part of that is, what are we getting for our money? I mean, that's the other thing. These government schools are failing our children for the most part. Now, there are some good teachers, and there are, so don't, I don't mean to impugn everyone. But the fact of the matter is, what are we getting for this kind of money, our taxpayer money?
Until our side wants to really address reality, the position they have to start with is that taxpayers need to be cut free from these pension funds. The government should be get out of the pension fund.
Absolutely.
These people should be thrown into Social Security.
Absolutely.
But the courts say you can't do that.
Yeah, the courts can't make the impossible possible. These numbers are so out of whack and so outrageous. We've got 267,000 in unfunded liabilities in Illinois. You give the Illinois Supreme Court power to tax, they're not going to be able to find the money. This is insolvency. This is bankruptcy.
Yeah,
every household owes $57,000 to get these pension funds caught up.
Wow.
We're talking taxes with John Biver with the Illinois Family Institute. He's our special projects coordinator, and we will continue our discussion, our taxing discussion, after this.
Do you want a better education for your child? Consider Freedom Project Academy. Built on Judeo-Christian values and classical curriculum, Freedom Project Academy provides more than 100 live online courses for students in kindergarten through high school. With live class instruction, teacher hours, recordings, assignments, quizzes, tests, grading, and transcripts, Freedom Project Academy is faithfully educating America. Request your free information packet today.
All right, welcome back to Illinois Family Action. I'm Dave Smith. I'm joined here today with John Biver, and due to some technical difficulties, we lost Monty Larrick. in the original recording, was not saved, and so we're re-recording this last segment of the podcast, and Monty is taking some much-deserved time off this week. So, John, as we were discussing the tax grab by our General Assembly lawmakers and the 11 Republicans who joined with the Democrat minions to further exploit, I guess that's the right word, Illinois citizens and take resources from them to feed the insatiable beast of irresponsible government. I have some clips I want to play. These clips came from a political show called The 21st. It's aired on WILL, which is public radio of Central Illinois, and Nyla Boodoo is the host of that program. The first set of clips I want to get reaction to and give my own two cents on comes from State Representative Reggie Phillips from the Charleston area of the state, so that's southeast Illinois. Charleston is also the home of Eastern Illinois University, and he is explaining why he voted in favor of Madigan's tax increase and didn't vote to sustain the veto of Governor Bruce Rauner. So without further ado, I want to play the first clip and get your reaction, John.
All right,
here we go.
Well, I ran on being a conservative Republican, fiscally responsible. So, I mean, that should say it all. Yesterday was certainly not fiscally responsible for the state of Illinois. we're raising people's taxes up to 4.95%. But, you know, that's not the elephant in the room, 4.95, because it was 5% under the Quinn administration in 2011. It had bipartisan support back then. Why weren't everybody screaming and hollering about that in 2011? I think the reason why people are hollering now is because after 4 years of that and the $35 billion spent under that plan, under that administration, under that particular budget, the money didn't go to where exactly where it was supposed to go.
Okay. There's a lot there to react to. First, he says it wasn't responsible. So here we have a state lawmaker saying, admitting that the vote was irresponsible. What do you think about that, John?
It was irresponsible not to have a budget. This was the wrong solution. These guys just don't want to come to grips with the structural realities that no matter how much they raise taxes, they're never going to be able to make this a balanced budget. The spending is out of control. So this guy is kind of torn inside. He doesn't know what responsibility is because he's running from it.
Well, no. And then he goes on to say that the previous temporary tax increase that we had in the state of Illinois didn't go for what it was supposed to go to. And and I've written, you've written, we've both pointed this out in our articles that, holy smoke, why do we have any confidence that it's going to go to what it's supposed to go to now and what they're telling us?
That's right. He should have thought through that answer before he opened his mouth.
All right. So let's play a second clip here of Reggie Phillips giving an explanation to Nyla Boodoo about why he voted for this tax grab.
I have two community colleges. I got a prison. I've got a couple of towns that are owed several hundred thousand dollars for water, sewer. And so there's multiple. I have K-12 through my district.
So here we have him explaining that he's got all these government entities in his district that he needs to feed, and therefore he needs to go back to the trough and take more of our resources, taxpayer resources, to feed what? The university, the K-12, the prison, the community colleges. Those are the reasons he wants to raise our taxes. What are your thoughts on that?
Savings can be found in all of these areas, but as long as they're willing to continue to raise taxes and see people move out of the state and businesses out of the state because of those increasing taxes, they're not going to address the modernization of some of these colleges and universities and the K-12 system and the prisons. There's savings to be found everywhere, and they're going to have to get to it eventually because, they're like I said, they're never going to be able to get the revenue they need.
No, and you've written a three-part series, two of which are going to be up on our website, illinoisfamily.org, about the pension crisis. And some of these guys are making unbelievable amounts of money in retirement. I mean, they're making more than I make in 10 years in retirement. I mean, what's going on here?
Yeah, that's one of the more disgusting examples of where we're going to have to find savings. Now, nobody has to be an expert in any of these areas to know it's possible. When other states are able to grow, keep their taxes down, and pay their social services, pay for prisons, pay for their schools, it's possible. It's just not possible here with their refusal to deal with the excess.
All right. Well, let's listen to the third cut here.
I took a look at it from a business standpoint, the better part of dollars. Let's just go ahead and retreat right now.
Retreat! Here we have a Republican lawmaker actually saying, well, it's better to retreat than fight on this issue.
It's a shame we're 2.5 years into the Rauner administration and so few Illinoisans understand the gravity of the problem. Legislators like this being torn in several different directions. Not that I feel sorry for them, but the leadership at the top is going to have to make the case to the public. But as I've said, and maybe I said it earlier today, when Rauner is bragging about spending more on K-12, he just shows he's never going to figure it out.
Well, he claims to be a fiscal conservative, but he has not shown himself to be a fiscal conservative. Even if he did veto that bill to raise taxes, he still favors revenue sources, increasing taxes. But the point here about Reggie's statement about retreating is just indicative of the Republican Party of Illinois. There was no fight, John, from political Republican leaders to stop this or to gin up the grassroots and try to stop this tax increase. And there's not fight. It doesn't seem like ever from the Republican Party to champion good Republican platform issues. Haven't you observed that over the years?
It's a shame when I can count on one hand the Republican state legislators who are outspoken like they need to be. Representative Dave McSweeney from up in the Barrington, Lake County area.
Absolutely.
Kyle McCarter from downstate.
Senator
McConkie from also up in Lake County, I believe.
Jeannie Ives from Wheaton.
Jeannie Ives, there you go. Okay, maybe I will run out of fingers. But as a group, as a team, there is no dynamic message coming out of that either caucus, and that is the fault of their leaders.
Well, and the fact is, they're not in leadership. All the people that you've named there, which are good, strong, conservative voices in the General Assembly,
exactly,
they are not in leadership. And the leadership just seems to fall back. They want to go retreat, wave the white flag of surrender, and not fight on this issue. And that's what's very troubling to me, that we don't elect men and women to the General Assembly, and I'll even say Washington, D.C., who are willing to fight for their constituents back home.
The federal government can continue to be irresponsible because the Fed can print money or click keys on a keyboard and make some more money.
All right. Well, let's move on.
The state of Illinois cannot.
No, absolutely. Well, let's move on because I don't want to run out of time. I've got another two clips for from Reggie Phillips. Here's another one.
Go for it.
It's one thing to talk about, okay, well, we take in $32 billion, and McCarter's plan says we can actually live with that $32 billion. Yeah? Ask him if he's ever got it out of the Rules Committee. Ask him if he ever really thinks he's going to get that on the Rules Committee and get it to the House or even the Senate. It's one thing. It's like the Illinois policy. They're beating us all up about this because they think we can live within $32 billion. Oh, yeah, we sure can. We could probably live within $28 billion. But under the particular leadership and the presentation that's in the House and the Senate now, do you really think you're going to get them to vote on that?
So, you know, here we are. Here we go with Reggie Phillips saying, hey, can we live within 32 or 28 billion? Yeah, we probably could. Whoa. He just admitted we could get it down there and be okay, but he's not willing to fight for it. Just the segment before, he's saying, retreat.
I mean, that's right.
In other words, let's go ahead and work with Madigan's failed plans and not fight for the people of Illinois. That's what's so aggravating to me.
If they would have been fighting, as you say, and out there and the public would be learning more about the details, and then finally had to say, we don't have the votes, we're going to have to do something we don't like, that would be one thing. But they're invisible for the most part, these General Assembly Republicans.
Well, listen, that was the last Phillips cut, actually. I do have six cuts from Jim Edgar, former governor of Illinois, was also interviewed by Nyla Boodoo, and what he has to say is shocking. John, you have said for a long time now that Jim Edgar was no conservative. In fact, he was one of the governors who approved a tax increase in Illinois. And here he is celebrating the Republicans violating their platform and voting bigger government in. So here's the first clip.
I give the General Assembly, and particularly those 11 Republicans, 10 in the House and one in the Senate, who showed a lot of courage and really save this state from the mess that we had found ourselves in.
Okay, save the state and showed a lot of courage. I'm sorry, but voting to increase our taxes is not courageous. Fighting for smaller government is courageous.
That's right. And Edgar, you got to give him credit for being consistent, and he gets a generous state pension.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's over $250,000 a year, right? Something like 20. I think I read it. It was over $20,000 a month.
Amazing.
Is what we're paying him in retirement. Here's the second.
Governor Rauner kind of, all right, he made his try. I mean, he can now have his cake and eat it, too. I mean, the budget is intact. The state's not going to, fall off the cliff, and he can say that he didn't support a tax increase.
All right. So Edgar is actually feeding the suspicion many conservatives have that Ron Ar- quietly wanted this to go through and to bail him out. Any thoughts on that?
Well, Republicans are talking about a civil war, running candidate against the Republicans who were voted to override the veto. So it's hard to tell what the real backstory is, except Rauner was public. He would have signed a tax increase.
Right.
If he would have given him more of his reforms.
Right. That, and see, that's the problem. All right. Cut number three.
We didn't fall off the cliff, but we're still hanging. I mean, we're not going to go back and everything's rosy now. These are going to be very tough times. And it's going to take leadership from the governor's office to deal with the budgetary problems. And we've got to get away from the partisan politics and really, as the General Assembly, I think, demonstrated this week, do what's best for the state, not necessarily what's best politically for them.
Oh, okay, so here we go with Edgar saying, just a few minutes ago, the courageous lawmaker saved the state. Now he's admitting, no, we're not saved yet. We're hanging by our fingernails, and there's tough times ahead. So which is it, Governor Edgar? Which is it?
Yeah, I almost dozed off there. Sometimes when Edgar starts to use those cliches, it's hard to keep paying attention.
Oh, man. So we're still in trouble. Here's number four.
Over 2 years now, we've been spending way beyond what our revenues are. Even though we didn't have a budget, we were still spending much more than we were taking in, and we've got to pay for that irresponsibility.
So again, here we are, Jim Edgar admitting with Reggie Phillips that we're being irresponsible with our spending. But not one reform, John, not one reform has been implemented.
It is amazing to listen to these guys. They're all mixed up inside, and they don't know what to say. So they're saying everything.
and they're in the process, they're unwittingly admitting to what's going on in the backstory, in the back rooms of Springfield, and what we've been saying for a long time. Where's the mainstream media, by the way, exposing any of this? Where was Nyla Boodoo saying, wait a minute, you just said it was irresponsible. Can you explain that?
Yeah, the media is a mystery to me here in Illinois, because they could be selling newspapers. They could be getting people to watch their news shows if they would delve into some of the ugly details of the state budget.
That's right. All right, here's cut number five.
I ran for governor saying I wanted to make a temporary tax permanent. That wasn't real popular, but you know, if you explain yourself, and most people out there are pretty reasonable. I mean, nobody likes to pay taxes. I mean, I remember some of the people in the party that didn't like my position, said, well, we polled them. People don't like this tax. And I said, well, people never like a tax. I mean, that's just human nature. But, you know, you got to do what you've got to do. And you can't spend money you don't have. And there are basic needs that we need to meet for people in need and for our schools and or transportation. I mean, they were, laying off 20,000 construction workers this last week because there wasn't a budget. I mean, those things have to be, I think, taken in consideration.
All right. What do you think about that? I mean,
well, I feel for Jim. If he's really making 20,000 a month, like you say, his taxes went up substantially, and, you know, boohoo.
Well, his taxes, pensions aren't taxed in Illinois.
Oh, they're not. Oh, wow.
No.
Not even the state pensions?
No. That this is one of the big battles. And so he's, you know, all this tax increase did was safeguard his future income is what it did.
Oh, my Lord, that's horrible.
Well, at least for a little while, right?
I knew Social Security wasn't taxed, but I thought pensions were.
No, I think that's one of the biggest complaints among many of us taxpayers is, look, you know, let's start taxing the pensions. I mean, that's still income, right?
I'm glad I listened to this show. I learned something.
Well, anyway, I just the whole needs versus wants in his last segment is really troubling. Needs, you know, and then admitting that we're overspending again and again and again, admitting that we're overspending, but not addressing the reforms that are necessary. And it just can't keep going like this. We're going to lose a lot more people in Illinois, including some of the very wealthy and the most productive and the companies who just will not stand for the shenanigans and the irresponsibility of our leaders. All right, well, listen, here's clip number six.
I think people have to understand we have to pay for services that people need and want.
All right, so there again, need and want. So, John, you have to pay for the abortion wants of so many young people who decide, well, I'm not going to be responsible with my sexual behavior, but I'm going to live a high-risk lifestyle and just depend on the government to kill my unborn baby so I can continue in this lifestyle.
Exactly. And if they were to send in real business pros into these universities around the state universities, they could be saving tens of millions of dollars. Those things are just ridiculous boondoggles.
All right. Well, that does it for the clips. But all this does, for me at least, it fires me up, and I'm hoping it fires the listeners up about the need for good people to get involved in the culture and in politics. We need good people running for precinct committeemen at the very lowest level rung of politics. And we need people running for township trustees. And we need people running for county board. And we need people running for state rep and state senator. These positions are absolutely vital. And we're getting what we get right now because we have unwise lawmakers, dishonest lawmakers who rather cater to the needs of big government than the folks back home. And I can tell you personally, this tax increase takes needed resources away from me, my wife, and my seven children that we need.
That's right. That's right. To get these people to run for precinct committeemen in all the local offices and even consider the General Assembly or Congress, it would be so helpful if Rauner and the Republican Party used some of those tens of millions of dollars to show real leadership in an inspiring message.
Well, after Labor Day, we're going to come back and we'll do a podcast about running for precinct committeemen. It's that time of year. It'll be that time of year at least. And we want to encourage folks to consider running for precinct committeemen, getting involved at a very local level. Listen, we need to change the Republican Party in Illinois as well. So that can be done from the grassroots up. All right. Anyway, we're out of time for this podcast, and I want to thank John for joining me by the miracle of internet conferencing. And if you want to send us feedback, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. And please visit our website, like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter. God bless, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.